Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to the Cave Show on PLR. This is PLR. It is Thursday. That means we are coming to you live from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Today's show is absolutely, positively loaded. We have everything that you could possibly talk about that we're going to try to get in 1 hour today. Everything. Of course, in the last segment, we'll be doing our picks, putting some money in your pocket. Yeah, I apologize for last week. Hopefully, you didn't bet the mortgage. I apologize for last week. Last week was a tough week. But we're back this week. It's more winners for you. It is mayhem with the Suns. The Phoenix Suns is just pure mayhem today. LeBron is out. Aaron lied. OBJ sent home. There's just a ridiculous amount of news to get to. We will be opening up the phone lines, have an early guest, so we'll get actually open up the lines after the 1:30 hour. Scheduled to come on then is Ken Sanders, former youth coach, current league schedule for East Valley Basketball and AZ Girls Basketball League. We're going to talk a little youth sports. We'll talk something bright today. And then at 1:16, we have scheduled to come on Nick Roach, former NFL player, linebacker, with the Bears, the Raiders, and the Chargers. Then we'll open up the phone lines after that before we get to the picks. Still got to talk about this OBJ thing. Still got to talk about Aaron Rodgers' line. Got just so much to get into today. It is absolutely crazy. These are the days we love, when the news gets handed to us. Like I said, though, we are live at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. Get yourself down here. Let them know PLR sent you. Get 10% off of your cigar purchase. Become a club member. Get you access to the members' lounge. You'll lock your back up to a humidor. Tons of places to sit. They have all the tickets, all the passes. Watch every game. They'll be showing the game tonight, the Jets versus the Colts. So get down here and check it out. If you don't become a member, no worries. Still many of great places for you to sit, relax, enjoy the game. They do serve beer and wine. One of the best selections of sticks you're going to find in the Valley. If you're unable to make it in, there is no worry. Just go to Stogie World, StogieWorld.com. Order your cigars early enough in the day, they will ship the exact same day. All that happens and goes on right here at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Remember, when you're in-house, let them know that PLR sent you, and they will take 10% off of your cigar purchase. Call-in number hasn't changed, 917-889-7828, 917-889-7828. Like I said, we're going to move calls after 1:30 just because we are absolutely packed today. With all the news coming out about Robert Sarver, Aaron Lyon, OBJ being sent home, LeBron out, games tonight, picks tonight, got a lot of stuff going on. But I like opening shows on a positive note if possible. And nothing can be more positive than kids sports. Youth basketball, big. A lot of people do youth basketball, so don't kid yourself. But a lot of people do it wrong. They do it for themselves, not for the kids. And it's more important to do it for the kids. On with me now, former youth coach, current league schedule for East Valley Basketball and AZ Girls Basketball, someone who does it right. Online with me right now, live, is the one only Ken Sanders. Ken, thanks for joining us on the Ken Show.
I can't live up to that billing there, Mr. Speaker. I can't. That man, I feel important.
Well, you are important. I appreciate you joining us today to put some sunshine on this day, because there's a lot of nonsense going on. But kids sports, youth sports, is where it all starts, where it all builds. And I think, Ken, I think the thing that a lot of people lose in this is that when you're coaching kids, teaching kids, character is big, and we're learning from a lot of things that's going on in pro sports. Somewhere the character part is being left out of the teaching.
Absolutely. I think, you know, I had a buddy down in Jacksonville, and he started a program, about 12 years ago. And the one thing I told him as he's building the program, I said, always be concerned about the relationships that you have with the young athletes. And that is so important. And right now we're seeing in the news the young man who ran into the back end of a car and actually, you know, killed somebody, and he had a DUI on that situation. You know, I stop and I think, what could a coach or what could a parent have done, or what could they have done differently so that that young man, you know, wouldn't have been in that situation? I look at nothing happens good after 11 o'clock at night.
you know what? What makes me sad about that more than anything, obviously, first and foremost, is the loss of life. But there's been two lives lost with that. Not only did someone lose their life, but a 22-year-old young man who had everything in front of him may not see daylight again until he's 50. All the riches he's accumulated, they'll be gone in lawsuit and lawyer fees. So at 50, around that time, this man's going to come out of prison with nothing. When he went into prison, with everything, for not thinking long game and making one poor decision.
All it takes, you know, Coach, all it takes is one bad choice, okay? And some you can rebound from, others you can't. This is one where this young man will not probably rebound from it unless our great creator just looks down and see the good in his heart, and maybe something will change. And that leads me to what we're talking about, youth sports. You know, back when you and I played youth sports, everybody, you know, like our parents, even, you know, friends' parents, they had the right to talk to us in a way, if we're doing something wrong, that, you know, they could correct us. Now, you don't have that. You have parents in the stands acting just as ruly or unruly as the kids are. And I think because of that, you have good coaches, good officials walking away from the game just because we have lost teaching that character integrity piece while we're coaching as coaches. And I had a chance to come coach last night, and thank you for allowing me to speak to the young ladies at, you know, at practice. You didn't fear what I had to say. You weren't scared about what I had to say, because we have a relationship, and you know that the only thing I'm going to say and do is to lift your kids up and lift whatever and support what you're doing over there with those young men and those young ladies. And I think a lot what's also playing into it is everyone thinks they own a kid or a family or, you know, whatever. We don't own anything. Our job is, as coaches, as teachers, administrators, are to teach. And to teach that character piece, that integrity piece, just being forthright. And I'll tell you, Coach, we're teaching them how to cheat better than teaching them how to be good people beyond what they're doing.
You know, my dad told me a long time ago, he said, the day that you believe that you know everything, you prove that you know absolutely nothing. And whenever you have an opportunity to learn anything from anyone, you take it. And so I'm going to go all the way back to a time when I need to ask you, what got you into coaching youth? Because there's so many people that want to chase the dollars of college and pro and scouting and do all that. What made you want to coach youth sports?
You know, I came from a single-parent home, Coach, And so my mom was the sole breadwinner. She was our mom, our dad, our brother, our sister, our aunt, and our uncle. And actually, it was when we moved to a little place called Midland, Michigan. And I might get emotional, but I love this man to death. His name is Thomas Hersey, and he was my basketball coach. And he put more time into preparing us for the game. But you know what he did? He was preparing us for life, how to compete, how to deal with adversity, how to deal with, you know, even how to deal with winning as part of that. And so it was him and a guy named Chuck Trzynski that actually got me involved in coaching. And I've been coaching since I was 16 years old, and I actually got involved in coaching the high school girls junior varsity team just so I could get a key to get in the gym and get some extra shots and some extra work in. But, you know, I went on to college. I played collegiately, and then went into got my degree in economics. You know, so there's a ton of jobs out there to make a lot of money when you're dealing with economics and business administration. And I started off in the insurance world and was making a pretty good living. But you know what? I wasn't fulfilled. I wasn't happy. I see so many people just going to a job just because they got to go. And I didn't want to live that way. So I was blessed to have someone by my side to support me in my dream and continue to push me towards that. And I walked away from the corporate world and came to Phoenix, and I was helping a program out here. And I don't care about the money. Never have cared about the money. When it comes to young kids and sowing into their lives and trying to, you know, help them not go through the pitfalls of life that you may have gone through, and giving them some wisdom to be successful in life, there's not a dollar amount that you can put on that. And I walked away from a very lucrative situation to make $350, start at $350 a month, just so that I could do what made me happy. And,
yeah,
you know, coaching kids made me happy to see their success beyond. I mean, my first group of kids now that I coached as sixth graders, young girls team, they're all in college right now, all of them, every one of them. Seven of them are playing collegiate basketball at the NAIA or Division II level. And they were probably the longest running group of girls that stayed together and didn't jump teams like a lot of the kids are doing now on the club side. You know, they're wearing different uniforms every week. These kids, they were committed. We did it for 6 years. And like I said, they're all playing collegiately. As a matter of fact, I'm going to watch one play tomorrow on a Christian university. They're playing U of A. That's going to be a big thing for her. So I'm going to go down and support them. I'm going to see one play in Hawaii. Got a couple in Iowa. And then the two that are not playing, they want to be biologists and brain surgeons. So they're at the University of South Carolina and one's at Michigan State. So I'm happy, man. That warms my heart when they're going on to do what they want to do, but going on to be successful soldiers in life. And that's the joy I get from it, man. And I think a lot of coaches are missing the point, missing the, you know, they could do so much and be so much more, you know, instrumental in the development of kids, and it's just not happening.
You know, I got you on today, and with everything going on, I know we're short time as we're coming up to it, but you help run East Valley Basketball, which is, in my opinion, the best league in the Phoenix area, hands down. I want to get you on again, but could you tell everyone briefly before I let you go how they can sign their kids up with East Valley Basketball?
Hey, again, I'm not out here to promote, but you put me on the spot. Yeah, East Valley Basketball was, you know, is a league for a rec league for young kids starting as early as kindergarten all the way up through 14 years of age. They can go to our website if they want to get the information. They can go to EV Basketball. That's EV as in VictorBasketball.com. Our next season will start in the winter season. It'll start January 15th. So if you want to get your kid involved and being coached by some pretty decent coaches, I'm surprised at the level and the competitiveness of our coaches in the league. Just go to evbasketball.com, sign your kid up. They'll be assigned to a team. If you know somebody that, you know, a team that they want to be on, they can join that team. And then the season's about 6 weeks, and then we have playoffs at the end.
Hey, I appreciate it. Like I said, I'm going to get you back on. We'll talk some more, and thank you for spending a little bit of time with me today.
Hey, thank you for asking me, you know, Paul. Like I said, anybody that talks about Paul Richardson, I'm going to have to say a little bit to him. I appreciate what you do for the community. I appreciate what you do for those young people. I was really impressed last night, and I'm going to make a point to just stop by because there's some stuff that I was learning last night. From you as well, and I just like the way that you command respect from your athletes and how you treat them. It's awesome.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that very much, and I'm sure I'll see you this weekend.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Go Knights.
I appreciate that. Talk to you later, Ken.
Yes, sir.
That was Ken Sanders, youth coach, currently graduate with East Valley Basketball and AZ Girls Basketball League. Really a good man, really a good league. Let's keep this bad boy rolling. On the line with us right now, we are very, very, very happy to have one of the former Chicago Bears on, Northwestern University. It tells you right there, that's a smart guy. Good. You don't just get into Northwestern. On with me right now, it is my pleasure to welcome to the game show with PLR, former Chicago Bear linebacker Nick Roach. Nick, Paul Richardson, how are you today, sir?
How you doing, Paul? Thanks for having me, brother.
Hey, I appreciate you coming on, spending some time with us. And I've got to be 100% forthright that you're coming out the gate. I'm from Chicago, so I don't hide my love for the Bears. I don't make it a secret. Everybody that's been on my radio show or done radio with me for the last 10 years. They know it, so I've got to ask you, coming off of last week's I Want to Call It a Game, you played in those Packer Bear games. Is the rivalry as much with the players as you see with the fans?
Yeah. It's a good question, man. You know, obviously both teams have very intense fan bases. but, yes, I would say for sure there's a different feeling in the locker room. Leading into any of those games against, you know, for in our case against the Packers, whether they're coming in to Soldier Field or whether we're going to Lambeau, it's just there's something about that week that things are a little bit different. You know, there's a little bit more seriousness, and it's so historic. You know, you think about the two oldest teams that have been battling since literally the beginning of the league. So it's a cool feeling.
You play linebacker for an organization that's known for linebackers. When you were playing for the Bears, what was that? What was that like when you're looking up, you know, and there's Singletary and there's Butkus and there's, you know, Briggs. And there's just all these names of all these guys that play linebacker. What's that feeling really like?
It's an honor, man. Honestly, you know, there were days for sure when I would just look at my helmet, you know, when we were warming up and see the Chicago Bears see on there and just be kind of in disbelief, like, man, I am really putting this on my head. Especially, like you said, being in the linebacker room, there was that attitude or that, you know, just a legacy that you felt like you had to carry. You couldn't just go out there and play any type of way. You know, you definitely had a very well ingrained inheritance that you were tasked with carrying on. And fortunately for me, you know, I was able to play with great guys, like you said, Lance and Brian Urlacher. And so, you know, those guys really did a good job, I think, of keeping the culture the way it was supposed to be in the linebacker room.
On the line here on the Cave Show with PLR, we're live from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Nick Roach, former NFL linebacker, played with the Bears, the Raiders, as well as the San Diego Chargers. When you're a member of the Bears, like you said, that's such a historic organization. When you ended up going there, especially after going to Northwestern, becoming a Bear, was that one of your choices as you were coming out, or was it whoever takes me and I sign that contract, mm-hmm. I'm happy to play with, or did you have a preference of where you wanted to go coming out of college?
Yeah. In the beginning, I honestly didn't. I didn't really care where it was going to be. I was just, my concern, man, my family always laugh was just about being employed, you know?
So
once I got a job somewhere, it was just about keeping that job. And fortunately, I was really thankful to be able to get the call shortly into my rookie year to come back to Chicago, because after going to school there, and then I ended up playing 6 seasons in Chicago. So my family basically for 10 years straight got to be able to see home games, you know, seeing relatives come, my grandma, my mom and brother at every game. And it was a blessing, man, to be that close to home for so long, because I only grew up 70, 80 miles away. So it was awesome.
I'm one of the people that always look at Northwestern football a little bit different, because I don't think that they necessarily get the love that they should. Northwestern actually turns out a lot of athletes, and if people paid attention, they would see that. But when Northwestern is good, everyone treats it like it's a prize. And when they're not as good, everyone says, oh, they're just Northwestern. So playing for Northwestern, was it hard in the Big Ten when people kind of look at you like, it's just Northwestern.
Yeah. I mean, I guess when you look historically, of course, people make the case that we were bad for so long that I think it, in their defense, I think that it's going to take a long time of winning, if not longer than we were bad, to kind of replace that first thought in people's minds. But certainly Coach Fitz is well on the way of getting that. Your reaction to when you see Northwestern playing on TV, with that first thought that comes to your mind, because they have been so successful and they do have so many guys that are in the league having long careers, not just in and out. So I think it is something to be said, man, for it just, you can't, it's hard to change your past sometimes, but all you can control is how you go forward.
On the line here on the KSHO PLR, Nick Roach, former linebacker for the Bears, Raiders, Chargers, went to Northwestern. I've got to ask you, what makes Fitz so special? Because he really seems to get the buy-in, really seems to recruit pretty well. I mean, a lot of people, they always say, it's hard to recruit to Stanford, it's hard to recruit to Notre Dame because they're academic schools. Well, maybe they forget. Northwestern is an academic school, and the campus isn't huge. The stadium isn't one of those stadiums like Oregon where you're running through and you're looking at all the same facilities. But he seems to recruit well and gets the most out of his players. What is it that he does that makes kids want to go there?
I mean, I think it's honestly, I think he would say it's a pretty easy sell because of the type of education that you get in addition to being able to play Big Ten football. Playing in one of the major conferences, but then also getting a, basically Ivy League degree by the time you're done. I think it's hard to find guys that would not jump at that opportunity, especially myself. I only had 2 offers. One of them was Northwestern, another one, a MAC school. And so, a guy that didn't necessarily have plans or have any certainty about playing in the league after college. Of course, I just went with, the best educational opportunity I could get. So it was pretty easy for me. And so I think he's dealing with that. And then plus all the upgrades they've done the last few years to the facilities, now I'm sure that there are professional facilities that are struggling to keep up with the type of technology and access they have now. So
I've got a question for you. I ask everyone that's played professional sports, and it's a two-part question. Who's the best player you ever played with, and who is your favorite player that you ever played with?
And this is it. And college or in the league?
In the league.
Man, best player is hard to say. I play with a pretty good amount of Hall of Famers. Best player, I would have to go just – I'll stick to the linebacker room because it would be too hard to choose, but it's kind of a toss-up between Lance Briggs and Brian Urlacher. I mean, you got, you know, Brian, who is the epitome of a leader, a teammate, just productive like crazy with – big plays all over the place, you know, sacks, interceptions. He was a game changer. And then you got Lance, who didn't get as much notoriety for whatever reason, but Lance, there, I don't think I've ever played with a more consistent playmaker than Lance Briggs. I mean, he was constantly in the backfield, constantly causing fumbles from, not from stripping it out, from hitting the ball out. And he was just all over the place, so productive, so many tackles, so many clutch, you know, third down stops. And for a bigger guy, you know, he was probably 240-something pounds. He would cover like crazy, you know, and he just didn't seem like anybody could run away from him, even though I don't know what his 40 time was. But he was just those dudes were special, man, watching them. They made it look easy, but then when you get in there and try to do it like them, it was something that they did that was amazing.
And then who was your favorite player that you ever played with? You could go college, roles, wherever.
Yeah. My favorite player, it's also a hard one, man. I think I'll go for my favorite player, I think, was a guy named Pisa Tinoi Samoa, and he played linebacker. I'm sure, you know, linebacker fans would know him. He went to Hawaii. He's a Southern California guy from down there near San Diego, but we ended up on the Bears together for a couple of years. And he became my favorite teammate because of, you know, he was a few years older than me. And when he came to the Bears, we were competing for the starting a linebacker spot on the strong side. And just the way that he showed me how to compete but still be teammates really meant a lot. You know, he never took plays off. He never made anything easy for me. As a matter of fact, he ended up beating me out that year. But the way that we still were able to bond and still work on our craft together while we were working against each other was pretty awesome, man. And I can imagine in a lot of ways, in a lot of other situations with different players, it probably wouldn't have gone that way. And so now, to this day, you know, he's one of the guys I keep in contact with the most, even though technically when we were on the team together, we were working for the same spot. But good friend, man. Really solid guy, family guy, and just learned a lot of maturity from him about being a professional football player.
So I got to ask you this question. So about a couple weeks ago, before he got hurt, I saw Derrick Henry bust through the middle, take off going about 22 miles per hour, and I saw a DB come up and lay out like he was going to tackle him. Now, I say he made a business decision that if he dove for the ankles on the film, it would make it look like he went for the tackle when he knew doggone well laying out he wasn't going to do it. What type of business decisions are people making when that 250-pound linebacker or defensive end playing running back coming at you? Did you experience anyone that size, that skilled? And what type of business decision do you have to make when someone like a Derrick Henry is coming at you going 22 miles per hour?
That's hilarious. I mean, I think even a step, a layer deeper, more simple than business decision, you got to make a survival decision, you know. You're no good to your team. You're no good to your team if you're out there, if you're getting carted off or you're out there limping off the field having your backup come in. So, you know, I would never, ever condone turning down a hit. I'll say it again. I would never condone turning down a hit on anybody, on the juggernaut or Iron Man himself coming through. But there are moments when you realize, too, hey, this is what I got, and this is what he got. I'm going to give him what I got. And, hey, if it don't work, that's why it's my 10 other homies are behind me, you know. And so sometimes it's like that.
Last football question, and I want to get into your tour with EG Tours.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't we – and I'm hoping Justin is, and I'm saying we, even though I've never suited up other than Halloween in a Bears uniform, why can't we seem to get that quarterback? And I'm hoping, Justin is it, but why do the Bears struggle so much with that one position over the years?
Yeah, it's interesting, man. It's something that, you know, people obviously bring up a lot. I don't have the answer, but I think that especially recently, the last, I don't know, since I left there, you know, in 2012, there's just been a lot of turnover, you know, and I would have to imagine that there's something that should be said about consistent leadership from, I mean, a, you know, organizational and coaching staff perspective that has to do with how the players get cultivated, you know. So if you got an organization that's constantly restarting or trying new things, it's hard for a guy to come in and automatically, you know, play like some seasoned, you know, well-versed veteran. And so when you're dealing with young players, I think one of the biggest things that you can give them is a sense of stability, along with all the, I mean, the stuff that's automatic. You know, they need good coaching, they need reps, but I think they need to feel like, you know, some kind of foundation underneath them in terms of who's supporting them. And I think that that can be, it's more of a relational thing. It's more intangible. It's hard to say.
Yeah, I tell you what, you watch on Sundays and you see the Bears defense, and then sometimes they just give them 26 points. Just 26. That defense can survive at 26. Just give them 26. and hopefully down the line we talk again, and I'll get into defense versus offense and all that and other fun stuff. But you have a tour coming up with EG Tours, and if you can tell everyone about it, they could come out and golf and meet you and have some fun. That'd be great.
Yeah, man, it'd be amazing. We Executive Global Tours reached out to me not too long ago because Northwestern is playing against Nebraska next August. And so what they did is they put together a couple of different fan packages. If you're a golfer, you know, you can spend basically the whole week leading up to the game golfing at different historic, legendary spots in Northern Ireland. And then the first part of the tour is in Northern Ireland, then we go down to Dublin for the weekend. If you're not golfing, there's an equally amazing tour full of attractions, sightseeing, you know, food, cultural experiences, all type of stuff. Pretty much alongside those, the same tour. All the transportation is included. It's going to be amazing. You know, I just talked to another guy that went previous years on the same type of trip, and he said it's, you know, it would go in the bucket list category. And so I just encourage anybody out there listening that knows somebody that went to Northwestern, if you went to Northwestern, have any interest in seeing Ireland in a very in-depth way, send an email to info@executiveglobaltours.com, and they'll, you know, send you all the info and get all your questions answered. But super, super crazy opportunity, man. I mean, I had to play in the NFL for 6-7 years before I got to go overseas to play, you know, and now these guys are getting to go in college. And so it's going to be an amazing opportunity. I can't wait. I'm going to take my wife and probably take some of the kids that are old enough. And just try to enjoy it.
That's awesome. Well, I would say this. I didn't quite get into Northwestern. I had to settle for Arizona State, which I like to call the Harvard of the West Coast. I get laughed at a lot, but I'm smart enough to know that if you can go on this event and meet a lot of great people, do a lot of great things, you definitely should follow up at www.executiveglobaltours.com and hang out with a bunch of great guys, play golf, and get into questions that I didn't quite get in this time. Hopefully they can do it again, and I get the rest of those questions in. But I really appreciate you spending time with me today and talking about the Bears, Northwestern, and definitely talking about the tour with EG.
Yeah, Paul, appreciate it. And the last thing I'll mention is just I'm not the only alumni going. So there's alumni from all different eras of Northwestern football that will be able to talk shop from, like you said, maybe those non-glory days to more recent years with guys having more success. So it'll be a good time.
Yeah, I thank you very much for joining. Hopefully you have a good rest of your weekend.
All right. Thanks, Paul. Take care.
Thank you. That was the one and only Nick Roach, former NFL player linebacker with the Bears, Raiders, Chargers. That tour is insane. As you know, Steve Taylor was on with us about 2-3 weeks ago talking about the same tour. So a lot of fun, a lot of fun. Definitely, again, that's www.executiveglobaltours.com. Get with them. Book your tour. Get overseas. I know that COVID is still out there, but with vaccinations and some of the restrictions that are out there, hopefully everything will continue to go in a positive way, and so you should feel safe taking a trip. Listen, we blew through the first break. I do have callers I want to get to. Today, be a little shorter with callers because we got a lot to get to, but I promise I'm going to squeeze you in, most definitely squeeze you in, get a couple thoughts from you, if nothing more. We'll do that right after this break. This Cave Show with PLR, this is PLR.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
You never know what you'll hear on The Cave Show.
Here's the bottom line. If people were having great sex, we'd have world peace.
You know, one day I was riding around with a friend, and the alarm on my watch went off. And I turned to my friend and I said, "Hey, shut up. Because I need to listen to The Cave Show with PLR."
Welcome back to The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR on a loaded Thursday here from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Cigars with The Cave Show, like I said, here with PLR. Just finished talking to the great Nick Roach as well as Ken Sanders. I will get a couple calls in, really, really quick calls today. Numbers 917-889-7828. Make sure you're following us on social media at The Sports Cave, on the Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Cave is with the K. The website is sportscave.com. Again, Cave is with a K. And you get me directly on the Twitter at PLR on Sports. Like I said, we got a couple minutes to squeeze in at least one call now before we jump to this Phoenix Suns news. Caller, thank you for your patience. Thank you for holding. The K Show with PLR.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
Lou, my friend, how are you, sir?
Well, I told you so how it was going to happen, and I was right.
We got to be talking about the World Series. You called it in six. The Braves pulled it out. Happy for the city of Atlanta.
Yeah. Amazing, though. I mean, the cheaters, I mean, the Astros, out-hit the Braves, and they couldn't get one run off it.
Could not hit. The Braves are an incredible story. Stories like that are always good for baseball, good for the sport, you know, good for any sport. We see a team that suffered so many injuries, come through, able to finish it off. That was a good finish and a good look for baseball. Although I'm kind of past the cheating thing. I don't think anything like that would ever happen under Dusty Baker because he's too classy of an individual.
Okay, I'll give you that. It's hard not to pass down, though. Speaking of something in Phoenix, your boy Chris Paul has quite an accomplishment now, too.
Yes, third all-time leader in assists. He did that with 18 assists. Well, it was actually the eighth assist that put him over Tuesday night, but finished the game with 18 assists. And Chris Paul is just an incredible player. And I think a lot of times when we're talking point guards and we're talking all the accomplishments, I think sometimes we forget how good Chris Paul really is.
Yeah. I mean, I always knew he was good. I mean, sometimes I think, you know, he might be a bit – some people might think he's a bit overrated or whatnot, but I don't think so. I think he does as best as he can do.
So everywhere he goes, he wins. He won in New Orleans. He won when they moved to Oklahoma City because of the hurricane. He won with LA and the Clippers. He won in Houston. He won in OKC when they were rebuilding, and now he's winning in Phoenix. What more can be said? Wherever he goes, they win. Now, do they necessarily won a title? No.
No.
But everywhere they go, they're in a better spot with him there than they were before he got there. And those are just facts.
Yeah. Well, you know, Akiah would make it complete. I mean, not for nothing. But, you know, regardless, I mean, he's still, I think, you know, a great player. I mean, look, there have been plenty of great players who didn't win a title. I mean, you know, Malone, Stockton. I don't think Weber won
Charles,
a title either.
Charles Barkley, there's been a bunch of folks.
You want to count him? Okay, we'll take him. I didn't think he was that great, but still.
You didn't think Charles Barkley was that great, Lou? Are you okay tonight?
Nah, not really. I was never sold Barkley's performance.
Okay.
Maybe when he got to Phoenix, yeah, but when he was with Philadelphia,
I'm going to plead the fifth on that one.
The fifth? Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Or the fourth or the third, because Charles is a bad boy. I don't think we will ever see another 6'4" power forward in the NBA. I think those days are gone.
Probably not.
No. But, no. All right, my friend, listen, we had to go quick today. Guest ran over, and we got the Sun story that dropped that we have to get into.
Right. Until we talk again.
All right,
again.
My friend. Yes, sir. Have a good rest of your day.
Okay.
Always good to catch up with Lou. That's my guy 100%, but Charles Barkley, not that great. I think that's a hard disagree on my end, because Charles was the man. Like I said, we're going to tap into this Sun story, but first want to touch on a couple of things real quick. Aaron Rodgers lied. There's no getting around it. We can sugarcoat it. We could say he didn't say he was vaccinated. He knows damn well he led everyone to think he was vaccinated when he said he was immunized. So I'm anxious to see how this is treated. Is there a fine that's going to come down, not necessarily on him, but on the Packers for not following protocol? And for all those people out there that say, well, the vaccine isn't this, vaccine isn't that, it's a stupid rule, you can go and do whatever you want. But there's still a rule. So whether you agree with the rule or not, there's still protocol. And Aaron wasn't following that protocol. So what will happen to the Packers? Will the league fine him? I don't know. Will the Packers fine him, suspend him? I don't know. I doubt it. But I think the league has to come down on the Packers for this, because they allow them to do things that you're not supposed to do if you do not have a vaccination. And for all these idiots that talk about, well, it doesn't matter, and let your own immune, you can say whatever the hell you want. I really could care less. The point is, there is protocol. All these people that scream at these networks, the vaccination is dumb, the vaccination is stupid, they shouldn't have to do it. When they come in their office to go to work, they're vaccinated. When they come in their office and there are certain places they have to wear a mask, they wear a mask. And then they get on there and talk about what there shouldn't be, but they're collecting their check by following protocol. Everyone works at a job where there's a rule that we think is stupid, but we have to follow that rule. And he did. And I think there's no way the Packers are going to fight him. Packers probably don't want to do anything anyway because of all the tension they had this summer with him. So they definitely don't want to do anything to push his buttons or make him go the opposite way. But the league has to come down on the Packers. There's no doubt about that. They have to come down on the Packers for allowing him to do whatever the hell he wanted. And you just simply can't do that. He lied. And I think it's funny because we've left Bradley Beal alone. We're pretty much saying not too much about Aaron, but we jump all over Kyrie. Find that interesting. No Beal, no Aaron, but Kyrie's the devil. Go figure that one out. Who we like, we let slide. Who we don't, we do not. And other things, the Suns owner, Robert Sarver, is coming under heat. We hinted about the story weeks ago when ESPN said it was coming out. Today, the bomb dropped, and a lot of stuff is coming out about Robert Sarver allegedly. Now, he's denied it 100%. So we're basically having a he say, she say, he say, she say. I understand that 100%. He is not admitting guilt to anything whatsoever. Nothing. There are times where it's said that he's used the N-word, very misogynistic against women, but comments about bringing strippers into hotel rooms, all kinds of stuff going on. The truth will come out. It always does. And we'll find out. I'm not one of those people that are going to sit here and talk for 30 minutes on personal opinion. Earl Watson was one of the people who came out, former coach of the Suns, had a lot to say, about what happened. Other people that are still there who don't want to be identified had a lot to say. Eventually, everything will come out in the wash. It always does. It always does. There are people that are calling for him to sell the team. There are people calling for him not to sell the team. We will see what happens with Robert Sarver as this gets deeper. But I will say this. I always find it odd that the ego is the biggest thing. But think about it. It's the ego of owning something that only 29 other people own that is hard to give up. But we always reward people by making them sell something and putting billions with a B at the beginning and an S at the end in their pockets to walk away. We have to be the only society that punishes you once you're higher up by making you more money. Find it interesting. I actually will be on a solo panel with Dave King this weekend getting more in detail about this and just basketball in general. I will tweet that out and let everyone know when that's happening. Interesting. Best way to punish with the B on one side and an S on the other. I find that so interesting all the time. Well, when that music starts, you know exactly what that means. It's time for me to give you some picks. I apologize for last week. I'll go ahead and get that out now. The picks last week, 100% garbage. 100%. Who knew the Texans would start scoring at the end of the game and blow the cover? Who knew this fast? So the good part is we get to load up and we get to do it all over again this week, give you all the games, give you the lock, give you all that right here on the Cave Show with ELR, coming to you live from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco like we do every single Thursday. Let's get going. We have a game tonight. We have the Jets playing the Colts. You all know I am not a Carson Wentz fan. He blows more games than a kid blows out a nose with allergies. Not a fan. He's at home. The Jets found something last week. Mike White, you know, quarterback, Mike White. Yeah. Anyway, 2-5 versus 3-5. I'm telling you right now, I know Indianapolis is a 10-point favorite. I have no faith in Carson Wentz. I'm taking the Jets to cover, the Colts to win, the Jets to cover. The Browns go to the Bengals. I think the Browns have a better team. I think they have too much turmoil this week. Banged up Baker, OBJ being sent home, his dad now being an Instagram influencer, 10-minute videos about how the quarterback doesn't throw to your son. Absolutely insane. You can't control what your family does, but you can tell your family not to do something before it starts. I think there's too much trouble, too much turmoil. Bengals are favored by 2.5. I'm taking it 2.5, especially since the Bengals had a terrible loss last week. Take the Bengals, take the points. Broncos coming to Dallas. Dallas is a 10-point favorite. Broncos just traded their best defensive player. Their offense is suspect. Dak is back. Their backup quarterback threw for over 300 yards last week. They're in Big D, 10-point favorite. Take it. What you have to figure, can you see the Broncos score more than 14 points? And then can you see the Cowboys score more than 24? No on the first one. Yes on the second one. They will cover the 10. The Texans going to Miami, stay away from this game. Dolphins are a 5.5-point favorite. Stay away from this game. But if you have to bet, take Miami in the points. And I am done with the Falcons. Every time I pick them to cover, they don't. Every time I pick them not to cover, they do. The Saints are favored by 6.5. That tells you something about the Falcons. The Falcons have a quarterback. The Saints don't. And they're still favored by 6.5. This, again, is a game I'd stay away from. But if you absolutely must bet, go ahead and take the Saints in that 4.5. The Raiders go to New York, and they are a 3-point favorite. The Giants are a confusing team. They played very well last week in a loss to Kansas City. Blew that cover out the water. They're at home. Wide receivers are banged up. Running backs are banged up. Quarterback started to control a little bit better what he does. His decision-making is still suspect. Taking sacks at the end of a game when you absolutely can't take a sack. I'm going to take the Raiders in that 3 on the road. Fingers are crossed. You're net grabbing for this one, holding them tight, clinching. But go ahead and take the Raiders in those 3 points. Patriots go and play the Panthers in Carolina. They're 3.5-point favorites. Bill Belichick, they got him going. Sam Darnold, reckless with the football. Take New England in that 3.5. Bills go down to Jacksonville, playing the Jaguars. 14.5-point favorite. The Bills are real sketchy right now. Offensively, they can't seem to put two great weeks together offensively. I think Jacksonville will help them, though. Take the Bills. It's a lot of points. Take them and take that 14.5. Vikings play the Ravens in Baltimore. Ravens coming off a bye week. I don't need to say anything else. Kirk Cousins plays better on games when they're not premier games. He still won't play well enough, though, to beat the Ravens. Take the Ravens in that 6. Chargers going to Philadelphia and play the Eagles. Eagles are better than what we thought. The Chargers aren't as good as we expected. Chargers are a 1.5 favorite. That's close to pick them. One injury when one thing goes wrong, it swings. Chargers are favored by 1.5. I'm going to say they're 1.5 points better than the Eagles. Go ahead and take that game. And the line that moved the most, Packers were a 1.5 dog to the Chiefs. They're now a 7.5-point dog. Once we found out that their quarterback is a liar, that's still a lot of points. Will Jordan Love do what these other quarterbacks that came out of nowhere did last week? I don't know. I don't like 7.5. That defense is shaky. Devontae Adams is back, so Jordan Love will not be throwing to Tom Wojcicki and Tommy Jovanovic. He'll actually be throwing to one of the best receivers in the game. 7.5 is a lot. I'm going to take Green Bay in those points because I still don't think the Chiefs can stop water by turning the faucet off. Titans going to L.A. to play the Rams. Rams are rolling right now. Titans have to play a whole different game without the best running back in football. I like the Rams. I like those points. Can you see this game being 28-20? Yes. Take the Rams. Take the points. Cardinals and the Niners are even. Basically, bet the Cardinals to win outright. Just that simple. And finally, on Monday Night Football, the Bears play the Steelers. Now, there's times you bet with your head. There's times you bet with your heart. I was about to pick the Bears to cover that 6.5. I then found out Matt Nagy has been cleared. He no longer has COVID. He's cleared quarantine protocol. He's back with the team. You know what that means? Everything goes through him. As much as it hurts me to say it, because of Matt Nagy, take the Steelers take the points, they will beat the Chicago Bears because the head coach is back. And there you have it. This week's pick, I've given them to you. Go and find your bookie. Last segment was brought to you by Scout and Sullivan's Wine Consultant, Tina Calhoun. Phone number 602-410-4821. 602-410-4821. Tired of your wines coming with sugars, additives, preservatives, all the stuff that makes you feel kind of after you drink it? Get with Scout and Sullivan. Everything they do is 100% natural. You like the way they taste, she will set up tasting for you before you order so you can know exactly what you're getting. Scout and Sullivan Wine Consultant, Tina Calhoun, 602-410-4821. Make sure you're checking us out, following us on social media at The Sports Cave on the Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Cave is with the K, thesportscave.com, Cave is with the K. And you can be directly on the Twitter at PLRRSports. LeBron James is hurt. He's out at least a week. Abdominal strain. Listen, people. Before I get killed, like I always do, when I say something about LeBron, it doesn't include that he's the best ever, which he isn't, Michael is. Always get hit. But when you're in the league for 19 years and you've been to that many playoff games and you've been to that many title games and you've basically played in 19 years, about 21 years worth of basketball, your body starts to break down. I do not believe the Lakers will win a title this year. I don't think he's got to play enough. I think he will be banged up for the rest of the season. You don't get healthy by playing in the season. You get healthy by resting. I just don't see it. And we still know AD gets hurt by going to get a Coke out of a machine. So we will see what happens with this team. One note before I get out of here. Scottie Pippen, one of my favorite players of all time, probably my favorite player of all time, has his book coming out, and he's talking again. He's got to sell books. I'm going to read this thing. I want to be honest with you. I'm going to read this thing when it comes out. But I got to tell you, Scotty, you're on a solo island with this one. Let's just be honest. Let's be real. And let's be truthful. The Bulls won because of Michael. Now, we all know it took everybody. No one will ever doubt that. It took Horace. Took you. Took BJ. Took Harp. Took Kukoc. Took everyone. But if we did a documentary on the Bulls and we spent a whole episode talking about Horace Grant, whole episode talking about Tony, whole episode talking about you, whole episode talking about Cartwright, nobody will watch that crap. There's always a stir in the drink. The stir in the drink was Michael. Everyone knew what was coming out. Everyone signed off. Everyone was cleared. On numerous occasions, Mike has said, can't say my name without mentioning Scotty. Can't do this without mentioning Scotty. Scotty was there with me. Scotty was the best teammate. Scotty, the decisions you made are biting you in the butt. Sorry. People aren't having revisionist history. They're having history. We remember. Those that loved Scotty Pippen and the way he played, we forgave. We forgot. Whatever. The Last Dance did not make us think any less of you. Maybe what it did was shine the light on the stuff you did that you didn't like. But no one thought less of Scottie Pippen. No one. But I think you're barking up the wrong tree with this one to sell your book. Because you had a guy that was in your corner. I don't know if he's there anymore. As more comes out, we'll get into that more. Tomorrow we'll get more in the Suns. We'll talk about the Power Five picks. But college football will give you all that. Thank you, Maduros, for hosting us like you do every Thursday. Thanks, Ken Fattis, for coming on. Thank you, Nick Roach, for coming on. What a fun show this was today. Here on the Cave Show with PLR, coming to you live from Maduros, Fine Cigar, and Tobacco. Make sure you follow us on social media at Sports Cave. Cave is with the K on the Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. SportsCave.com is the website. Again, Cave is with the K, and I'm at PLR on Sports. Until tomorrow. Everyone, be safe. Thank you for joining us. Have a great day. Follow us on Spotify and iHeartRadio. Do not forget. Let you know when a new show comes up. Until then, everyone have a great day. Tips, bring us home. This has been The Cave Show with PLR.